George was not in the mood for sitting in a restaurant, so he went into a newsagent's and bought himself a tired sandwich, an orange, and a slightly spotty banana. He returned to his hotel room, made an instant coffee, and ate his snack supper. Having done this, he realized that he had nothing left to do, and it was only a matter of time before his mind slipped its anchor and began to drift. He opened the Aykroyd, but reading seemed an onerous task at this point in the evening, so he went next door and began running a bath. He was getting undressed when he remembered that there were parts of his body he did not want to see. He turned the bathroom lights off and stripped to his vest and underpants, intending to remove these just prior to climbing into the bath. But as he was sitting on the edge of the bed removing his socks, he saw on his left bicep a constellation of tiny red dots. 6 or 7, maybe. He rubbed at them, thinking they might be some kind of stain or clothing fluff, but they were neither. Nor were they tiny scabs, and rubbing did not remove them. The cancer was spreading. Either that or some new variety of cancer had taken root now that the first had weakened his immune system. He forced himself to his feet and strode back and forth between the window and the door, hoping to repeat the calming effect of the afternoon's walk. By the time he had done this 200 times, the rhythm was going some way to alleviating the panic. This, however, was the point at which he heard water lapping on a tiled floor. It took him several seconds to work out what might be making the sound of water lapping on a tile floor. When he did so, he opened his eyes and sprinted toward the bathroom, tripping on the corner of the bed and smacking his head against the doorframe. He got to his feet and stumbled into the darkness of the bathroom, slowing down to prevent himself slipping again on the flooded floor. He turned the taps off, threw all the available towels onto the ground, gently removed the plug, then knelt beside the toilet to get his breath back. The pain in his head was considerable, but it brought some relief, being a more everyday kind of pain that peaked and ebbed in a predictable fashion. When he had got his breath back, he clambered slowly to his feet and made his way into the bedroom, keeping his eyes tightly closed. He turned the lights off and put his clothes back on. Opening his eyes, he removed a selection of cans, bottles, and snacks from the minibar. He ate a Snickers. He felt like a small child after a long, long day. He wanted someone bigger and stronger to carry him to a warm bed where he could fall into a deep sleep and be transported swiftly to the beginning of a new morning in which everything would be good and clean and simple again. He opened a small bottle of vodka. By midnight, he had drunk himself into a stupor and was wondering why he had not done so earlier. He felt very relaxed and kept forgetting where he was, which was good. He went to the bathroom, relieved himself, staggered back to the bedroom and collapsed onto the eiderdown. His brain felt emptier than it had done at any time in the past few months. The thought occurred to him that he could become an alcoholic, and at this precise moment, it seemed a not unreasonable solution to his problems. Then he passed into unconsciousness.